Creativity Podcast. I'm your host, Mari Riesberg. Over the past several years, I've combined my degrees in acting and somatic psychology to share my sustaining creativity techniques with performers. And now I've decided to share it with a bigger audience that includes you. I believe we are all creative, and this podcast is all about that. I'll be interviewing people from all backgrounds, ages, and creativity experiences to share just how creative we all are. Today, I'll be chatting with Amy L. Bernstein, author and book coach. Please enjoy Amy L. Bernstein. Welcome to the Sustaining Creativity Podcast. Today, I'm here with Amy L. Bernstein, author and book coach. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad to be here and I appreciate you having me on.
I am really glad you are here and I can't wait to talk about what it is to be a book coach and the books that you've written and your journey as an author. But before we get into all of that, why don't you take a couple of minutes and let our listeners know a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm someone who's, I've always been a writer. I wrote professionally for decades, but sort of in the typical wage world and for other people and other organizations. And, you know, somewhere around midlife, I knew that I had to write for myself. And so I turned to fiction. And so I write novels. I have a nonfiction book coming out in the fall. And as a book coach, I help other authors on their journey toward getting published. And I also teach quite a number of I teach quite a number of courses on writing as well. So it's what I can do to help and support the writing community.
I love that. So what was that transition of writing for other people into saying, no, I'm going to write, I need to write for myself. How did you come to that conclusion? And what was that transition like?
Yeah, that transition was difficult. I was sort of hitting early middle age and I was making a lot of money working in government in a pretty senior communications role. And I had never been more miserable in my life. And it was just, you know, so much pressure. And frankly, the way I think about it is I was giving away all my treasure, all of my intellect, all of my energy, all of my sort of brain power was going out the door, you know, to sort of other people, other ends, other organizations, and not really coming back to me, right? Yeah. And I knew I kind of made a promise to myself, I guess somehow all along in my life, that I was going to somehow write creatively. And so I used part of my commuting time on the train to basically bang out my first novel just to prove that I could do it. But you know, this transition, it's a really difficult thing to start taking creative risks in your life. But it is so worth doing, even if you're afraid of it. I strongly encourage people to do that.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing to just prove to yourself that you could do it, writing it on your commute.
That
is very creative and it kind of innovative too, of like putting those dreams into action and taking those steps to head in the direction that I'm hoping now does not make you miserable from where you were.
No, not miserable. Thank you very much. I'm not miserable. I'm on a path that I stepped off of, like the what you think of as like the main highway, and I'm exploring the creative byways, and it's a joy to do because I make new discoveries every day.
Oh, I love that. That's so wonderful. So seeing as how we're talking about creativity, I'm so curious, what does it mean to you to be creative?
Yes. What a great, big, juicy question. I think that it has to do with being inventive in ways that are so true to yourself and that no one else could do or come up with or make or think about. And so it's not just about being creative by putting words on paper that no one else has written. This could apply to painting or quilting or being a master baker or a master gardener. I mean, there's so many ways to be creative. But at the end of the day, I think it's really about taking a chance on our own ingenuity, and our own ability to sort of discover and invent without being told what to do, without necessarily following paths that have been trod before. And I think that's part of what creativity is all about.
Gosh, I love that. I love the ingenuity piece. I love the following new paths and having new discoveries. It makes me very excited when I hear what it means to other people to be creative, because I think when we share what it means to us to be creative, it offers other people an opportunity, not only a glimpse into our creative self, but also the experience of what it is to be creative for someone else, and what a gift that is to share with other people. So thank you for sharing your creative self with me and our listeners. That's fantastic. I absolutely love it.
Thank you. And it's important to me to support others who want to do this and are just maybe starting out doing this. It's kind of like, come on in, the water's fine.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. Now, working as a book coach and working with other people in those early beginning stages, I imagine you come across a lot of challenges creatively and maybe not so creative challenges. But what are some of the creative challenges that you do experience, and then how do you navigate them?
You mean as a book coach?
As a book coach or personally, this is your time
Right.
to talk about the
Right. Well,
challenges.
only because I think those things are, that's because there's sort of two different ways of looking at this. I mean, for me as a writer, it's a challenge every day, right? It's a challenge to make yourself sit and write. It's a challenge to sort of stay true to your ideas and your vision and not, stop and start. And those are really hard things to do. And I'm, right in the middle of that now. I mean, I've got two unfinished pieces of fiction and I'm telling myself I'm going to get them both done this year. And that is probably not true. But as a book coach, it's really what, now I coach nonfiction because I come out of a very, I come out of journalism and a nonfiction writing world professionally after many, many years. And because I'm writing my own fiction, I didn't want to mess with my own head and coach other fiction writers. There are many wonderful book coaches out there who are helping fiction writers, but I love working with people who are working with creative nonfiction in many different fields, including but not limited to memoir. And it's wonderful to see how my client authors, I can help them start from the germ of an idea and really grow that into a properly structured, very exciting book with sort of clear takeaways. And that's a wonderful journey to help somebody take who may not be able to do it on their own.
Yeah, I love that, to help kind of grow, germinate, blossom an idea into a full story and help them share that in the world. And I truly appreciate your honesty about your own journey of wanting to have two books complete or two pieces complete and recognizing that may not happen.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah. Now, I know that there's a lot in the trusting yourself or doubting yourself piece that you touch upon with people. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that experience.
yes, I have been laboring in the vineyards of self-doubt now for well over a year. So I have a book coming out in the fall called Wrangling the Doubt Monster: Fighting Fears, Finding Inspiration. And it truly is a little book of inspiration for anyone in any creative field who just needs to feel sort of seen and validated and reminded that they can make creative work even when they doubt their own abilities to do so. So it's really meant to be encouragement and the kind of book that creative people would give to one another as well. And I've been writing a newsletter on Substack that's sort of dealing with all these themes around doubt called Doubt Monster, because coming out of my own, I guess, growth as a writer, as someone who's teaching others aspects of the writing craft and working with other writers and book coaches really sometimes around the world, I can see again and again how self-doubt is holding people back. And while my thesis is that we cannot conquer or eliminate self-doubt entirely, we can indeed live with it, accommodate it, and manage it, and still go on to make really great work. So there's ways of sort of dealing with those feelings of inadequacy, and just that you just think you can't sort of climb that mountain, and you actually really can. And so I really like reflecting on that and talking that through with others and helping them put their own self-doubts in perspective so that they can go on and do great things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, self-doubt is such a creativity crusher.
Yeah.
And it sounds like working with you, you're supporting people to work within that doubt, because it's not something that will just automatically disappear. And so working within, when we have those self-doubts arise, and be able to continue to creatively express yourself despite having some doubts and pieces. I'm curious, so you said this journey for the past year, what prompted the self-doubt monster Substack?
Yes.
And like, what was your own
right.
journey in that?
And so it came out of two things. I think it definitely came out of my own journey about self-doubt, about, you know, about getting published, about am I good enough as a writer, about can I really take these creative risks, and, you know, can I make a TikTok video without looking like a complete idiot? I mean, it's sort of doubting everything that I kind of set my mind to, and then doing it anyway. But it's also because of all, because I'm a part of several writing communities, and we talk to each other a lot, and seeing other writers struggle so much with these feelings. And I just want to, I don't think writing is a very lonely business, but I don't think we need to always struggle alone. I think that a writing community can be a very supportive environment. It's not, writing communities aren't just about critiquing each other's work and that kind of thing. It's about being there to say, I know you're worried and nervous about, you know, this book and whether you can really see it through and whether you can write it and whether you're on the right path. But it's about supporting people to believe in themselves so that they can get it done. How many great books in the world have not been written because people just quit? Because they just couldn't believe in themselves. So it's great to help writers in that way. And that's where a lot of this came from.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I love kind of opening up the world of supporting and what it means to be a part of a group that supports each other. And I imagine offers critique and feedback if that's what someone is looking for as well. But I think there's opportunity to fill different roles for people, and having the cheerleading and support system is an important part of that and among the creative community as well. Yeah, absolutely. So when you think about your experience of creativity, and it sounds like kind of coming into the more personal creative expression happened a little later in your experience, but I'm curious what your earliest memory of being creative was.
Yeah, well, I think I did have moments in my working life, my traditional working life, that were creative. I mean, being a journalist can be creative, and I also worked in public radio, and that can be creative. But to
oh my
your
gosh,
point,
absolutely.
To your point, you know, I know that I wrote this short story in like first or second grade, and I just had this memory of being really proud of it. And it was something about a grocery store or a man who ran a grocery store. And I think I remember showing it to my mother, and, you know, my mother was like, oh, this is so wonderful. And I think there was this teeny weeny little like seed planted. Now that seed took like half a lifetime to germinate in some ways, but,
yeah.
That is sort of, there's some origin story there somehow, I guess.
I love that. And I love that kind of, as long as it took that seed to blossom, you know, it still happened. And to your point, yes, public radio and journalism, lots of creativity, I imagine, going into both of those careers.
Yeah.
Couldn't get through them without some form of creativity. Some problem solving experience as well. Yeah. Now, working with other people in many capacities, it sounds like you know, and in your writing, find inspiration from a lot of places. But in your life today, who or what is inspiring you?
Yeah, that's such an interesting question. And I think I'm very introspective about it. For my fiction, I tend to write stuff that's asking what if questions is kind of speculative. It's looking at the world today and sort of shifting it a little bit. Yes, but what if? I get that really from, frankly, I'm a bit of a news junkie. And so I'm sort of always kind of taking the news and turning it into something else in some way. And so it's hard for me to pinpoint kind of what inspires me. It's not really people. I guess it really is. I'm inspired by, the world of ideas. I guess that's what it is. And ideas come from everywhere, right? It could be something you see that sticks with you. It could be something you hear, something you read. And a lot, I think for me, a lot of it comes from things that I read. And because I also, you know, I write poetry. And when I write it, when I am inspired to write a poem, some idea or some phrase or some image has like burst into my brain. It's like, and I know it's going to be a poem. And it's just a very specific thing. And I, you know, you can't tell when or where it's going to hit you.
Sure. So when you're in those locations that may not be the most conducive to writing things down, are you someone who carries a notebook? Do you use your phone? How do you hold on to these ideas until you get to a place where you can?
So it's funny because I discovered the little notes file on my smartphone, I actually do use that. I have these weird little notes to myself, and then I can't remember what I was thinking. I can't remember what I was thinking about. Like, yes. What does that mean? So I do that, and I keep a little sticky notepad in the night table next to my bed with a pen, and especially when I'm in the middle of something, like before, this is maybe TMI, but often before falling asleep is when I'll have a new idea for something I'm already working on. Like it'll just come. Like in that sort of, you're relaxing and it's just, you're in the dark, and I'll reach for that little sticky pad. And I'll just like scribble something down. That doesn't happen all the time. It's not like, I'm not like dreaming like plots that I'm then, you know, turning into, that's not happening, but I wish, but I do that sort of thing from time to time. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I know people who keep idea journals with them everywhere so that they can write things down.
Oh, I have
down
that on my computer too. I have an ideas file. Yes.
Yeah. No, I love that. And those moments of, I mean, it sounds like you are constantly absorbing information and allowing that information to inspire ideas, or like there's an openness to that process for you.
There is an openness, but I also think that once you have a writing habit, your brain is looking for those patterns that are going to flow through to the writing. It sort of becomes kind of a pass-through kind of a thing. And if you're not a writer, that may work for you in completely different ways. I mean, I have to imagine that people who are composers, for music composers, for example, they might hear something the way George Gershwin heard like taxi horns and then, you know, built it into, you know, Rhapsody in Blue. There's a pass through that kind of goes on. You never know where it's going to come from.
Mm-hmm. But there is that openness to the awareness when it does show up, that it's not the ignoring of it. You're inviting that awareness to show up. Whether you use it or not is another story, but that moment of recognition, that's the word I was looking for. So yeah, that makes so much sense. Now, for people who may not feel that way or be attuned to writing in that way, how would you encourage others to kind of orient towards creativity more?
Wow. Okay. I think that one way of doing this, and it really is only one way, is to begin with creating a stillness in yourself. Mm. I think it has to do with going through a period of tuning out external stimulation. This could be a walk in a park, a walk in the woods, a walk around a lake. It could be, maybe it's sitting at home with headphones on and listening to something quiet. Maybe it's just sitting in a meditative pose and not listening to anything. But I think that you have to access some interiority to come up with that creative spark somehow. And it's about listening to what you really, really, really want to create and where that passion really lies. And, you know, we live in the world's so noisy, right? With social media and just and literal noise. And it's just a very noisy place. And I think if you really want to sort of start a creative practice in almost any field, you have to go, you have to be internal, at least to start, before you can externalize. That's my theory.
Yeah, I love that reminder. You can't prove it. It's okay. I experience it. So I follow this. It makes a lot of sense. And I love the reminder to like tuning out to tune in, to find that passion, that creativity doesn't come from outside of us. It lives within us, and finding that connection without the stimulus that we are bombarded by day in and day out. So what are some of the ways that you connect to your inner stillness, creative space?
I will literally, I often, when I'm talking about writing, I often talk about thinking and how thinking is also part of writing. So for me, it can be sitting still for many, many minutes where I look like I'm just staring off into space, like not looking at my computer screen, but I'm maybe sitting at my computer, but I'm really thinking through something that it might be a scene that I'm working through. I might be working through a character motivation. I may be working through what could possibly happen next. What are my choices here? So I'm thinking, and thinking is something that we, because of the kind of world and culture that we're in, it's getting short shrift. We don't do enough of it, all of us. Just thinking, letting your mind go into particular sort of pathways. Unlike meditating, which is sort of about trying to empty your mind, right? And just quiet your mind. Thinking is about actively processing something. And you can do this creatively by setting yourself to a particular creative challenge. Now, I imagine, if you're a painter, you might be envisioning, you know, what's the shape of a line that you want to put onto a canvas. I mean, it can be so many different things. But I think that that's an important way of doing that. And I certainly try to do that. I don't do it enough, but I do try.
Yeah. I mean, it really sounds like an aspect of the creative process of like daydreaming, how letting our minds kind of play and wander and think about things really allows our creativity to show up in new ways as well.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, daydreaming is good, useful, valuable, but I think there's also directed thinking, where it's not like just letting anything flip through, like you're really trying to create something in your head in some specific way before you get to the writing or the painting or the, you know, whatever, creating the pattern or what, I mean, whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are great. And thank you for sharing your process and experience with that. It's been really wonderful. I just have one last question for you. What does it feel like in your body to be creative?
Wow, I love that question. I think it depends on where I am in a creative project. So when you get into those rare states of what we call flow, where in my case, it's going to be writing, where you really are just channeling story right onto the page. It's just living. It's like actually living. There's like a complete lack of awareness of physical body, of physicality. You might have a slight headache, you might be thirsty, your butt might hurt from sitting in the chair. You don't know any of this.
Right.
Because your attention is so focused. Now that's a wonderful state to be in. It doesn't happen all the time.
So
it's
true.
Wonderful when it's right. You know, and so I think that other ways of being in your body are, I mean, there are times when I'm feeling agitated because I'm frustrated and I'm feeling, you know, insecure, self-doubt, and this sort of more of an agitation. And that's probably when I get up and go do my workout. I'm like, I can't do this now. Just get up and go, you know, exercise, right? Which is a good way to process it. But it's a really great question. And I think people handle this, you know, very, very differently.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing your journey with it and experiences of it. And it's been a pure pleasure chatting with you. If people want to learn more about your book coming out in the fall, your social media, how can they go about finding you?
I'd love people to come to my website and just join my email list. I don't spam people, and it's not excessive. So the website is amywrites.live. It's AmyWrites, amywrites.live. You can see my books. You can see some of my workshops. You can sign up for to be notified about Wrangling the Doubt Monster. And, I love people to just go check it out.
Perfect. Well, I will add that to show notes so people have very easy access for it. And
great.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Me too. You asked great questions. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to the Sustaining Creativity Podcast. We'd love to keep in touch, so follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We are at Sustaining Creativity. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Tag your friends and family so they can listen too. We love to hear from you, so leave your reviews, comments, and questions. Check out our website, sustainingcreativity.com, for upcoming offerings and creativity coaching. Tune in Tuesdays for our next episode. And remember, with creativity, anything's possible.